Well, happy Sunday, everyone, and welcome to Prestonwood.live. My name is Jack Raymond, online pastor. I love getting to welcome you. We are so happy that you're here, and I'm so excited to be in a new place today, joining you from the choir loft of the best choir in the world. And so they're about to sing, and it's going to be a beautiful, beautiful, amazing Sunday. And we hope that you're singing, praising God from wherever you're joining us from today. We know that people are driving the car. Hope you're singing along as well. And a lot of people will watch this together as a family, together as friends, as a small group. And so hope you will sing together. But before we get there, we have a very, very special Sunday with our first graders, young boys, young girls getting God's word in their hands. And so we have our first grade Bible presentation, and it's just a reminder of the importance of God's word. And so grab your Bible as Pastor Graham dives back into 1 Peter chapter 1, the God of hope. This is a message you're going to want to hear, listen to again. It's a message you're going to want to share with someone else. Well, let's worship Jesus together right now.
Well, good morning, church family. It's so good to be together in the house of the Lord. Are you glad you came to church this morning? It's already been a great day. God was moving so powerfully in our service in the last hour, and no doubt we're expecting great things in this hour of worship as well. And joining me on our platform today is an incredible group of first grade boys and girls. Will you give them a big hand? Well, they look amazing, and they have something very special in their hands today on behalf of our pastor and our entire church family, moms, dads, grandparents, first grade boys and girls. It's our honor to put a copy of God's word in each and every one of your hands today. And this is a special gift. Yeah, please. This is a special gift. We do this periodically throughout the year. It's become a great tradition. It's one of our milestone markers in what we call our next gen pathway. It's our church's strategy for disciple making for our youngest of our kiddos, our boys and girls, as we partner with you, moms and dads and grandparents, to raise and train up these amazing kids to know and love and follow Jesus. And so this is one of those things that we do. We want to give them a Bible at a very early age so that they can begin to hide it in their heart and to receive it and to live by what it says. So moms and dads, grandparents, families, we know so many of you here today cheering these kids on. We want you to know we are your partner as we walk together to see these kiddos grow up in the faith and the knowledge of Jesus. Now, boys and girls, I want to say something to you. Every first grader, look right here at me. From one side of the stage to the other. Isn't that a beautiful picture of the next generation of the followers of the Lord Jesus? And boys and girls, we just want to say to you, come on, buddy, come on up here. Hey, let's give this big man a hand right here. Come on, pal. Jump in right here for me, buddy. We'll make room for you. Hey, there's always room when it comes to Jesus here at Prestonwood. We never let anybody walk alone. And so good for you, buddy. We're glad you're here today. Hey, boys and girls, you have this Bible in your hand, and there's something that I want you to do. Every first grade boy and girl right now on our platform, I want you to take your Bible, and I want you to put it close to your heart just like this. Can you do that? Put it close to your heart just like that. Boys and girls, I want to tell you something about that Bible that you're holding. God's word says of itself that it never changes and it never fades away. It's always true and you can always trust it. And I want to give you this verse this morning right out of your Bible that you can start to memorize. It's Psalm 118, 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Boys and girls, as you hold God's word close to your heart, always let it light up your path as you walk with him and as you follow Jesus. And church family, as we love and walk with these kids, as we bless them, as we encourage them, as we serve them, and as we disciple them to look and follow and walk more like Jesus, let's let their testimony this morning of the word of God in their hands and in their hearts be a challenge to you and I, that we'll trust and obey the word of God and follow what it says and let it be the light that illuminates all of our paths. Amen. Amen. Would you bow your heads and pray with me at this time? Lord Jesus, we love you and we thank you and commit each and every one of these boys and girls to you. And Father, as we look across this platform this morning and we see dozens and dozens of young men and women holding up your word close to their hearts, Lord, we're reminded of what a childlike faith really looks like. And that we can follow you and trust you.
And we can take your word that never changes and apply it to every part of our lives. So, Lord, in just a moment, as our pastor comes to preach over us out of 1 Peter 1 about hope, Lord, I pray these boys and girls would set the pace for the rest of our congregation today. And for those watching online, that all of us would have our Bibles open, that we'd be sitting in and under the teaching and preaching of your word, and that your word would fill us with hope and encouragement. Just like these boys and girls, may all of us seek to follow you all the days of our lives. And we pray this in your mighty name, Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Hey, boys and girls, I want you to go ahead and head back and sit with your families. And as they step down the steps, would you give them one more big round of applause, church family? Tell them how proud you are of them. Go ahead, boys and girls. Go find your moms and your dads and your families. Hey, and while they're doing that, church family, why don't we go ahead and hop up to our feet? Let's greet one another. If there's somebody you haven't seen this morning, go over, shake their hand, tell them you're glad that they're here to worship in Prestonwood.
Of our God and King, lift up your voice with us, sing.
Good morning, Prestonwood family. We get to celebrate with four who are coming to the water today to give testimony of their changed life in the Lord Jesus Christ. To begin with, this is Jessica Bowen. Jessica is part of our deaf ministry here at Prestonwood, and we're so excited that she's getting baptized today. And so, Jessica, are you coming today to be baptized because you've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Upon that public declaration of Christ, in obedience to his command, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Congratulations. All right, this is Kaysen Hodges. Kaysen, are you coming today to be baptized because you've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior?
Yes.
Upon that public declaration of faith, in obedience to his command, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Congratulations. This is Haley Kennedy. Several of our students getting baptized today. Haley, are you coming today to be baptized because you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Upon that public declaration of faith, in obedience to Christ's command, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Congratulations. All right, sis. And this is Zoe Harlan. All right, Zoe, cross your arms for me. All right, Zoe, are you coming today to be baptized because you've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior?
Yes.
Upon that public declaration of faith, in obedience to Christ's command, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We're buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. Congratulations.
Jeremiah Johnson here. Get ready for Prestonwood Biblical Worldview Conference 2024.
Hey everyone, my name is Alan Parr.
Hi, I'm Lee Strobel.
Hey guys, I'm Noel.
Hey, Elisa Childers here.
Hi there, this is Peter Williams.
Hey everybody, this is Jordan Secular.
My name's Tim Barnett.
Hi, I'm Justin Briley.
Hey everyone, Jonathan Morrow. I'm so excited.
And I'm so excited for the Prestonwood Worldview Conference.
I am so looking forward to being with you at the Biblical Worldview Conference.
You're going to want to register for this.
If you are ready to take your faith to another level,
if you want to learn what it means to be a follower of Jesus in today's crazy modern world and how to use your influence for God, then make sure you grab a ticket.
It is the premier conference of its kind in the country.
There's a growing number of influencers on social media who are trying to talk you out of your faith. They deconstructed their faith and they want you to deconstruct yours.
I'm going to be talking about issues both domestic and foreign, issues that we have to deal with every day in our country, both legally and as Christians, and how to work through that.
Many people say that Christianity is in decline, and I'll be telling you about the surprising rebirth of belief in God.
I'm going to be speaking about the reliability of the Gospels and the amazing teaching of Jesus.
We'll give you greater confidence to follow Jesus in a confused culture.
You need to show up at this conference.
Let's learn together how we can be strong salt and bright light in an increasingly skeptical world.
It's going to be amazing, so I'll see you there.
Come in person or stream online. We'll see you then.
Can't wait to see you there.
We'll see you there.
And I'll see you there.
Please make plans to join us. Learn more at PrestonwoodWorldview.org.
Good morning, church family. Can I just hear how excited you are about our upcoming Prestonwood Biblical Worldview Conference right here at Prestonwood Baptist Church? And don't you absolutely love all those accents of our speakers that are coming? They're coming from London, they're coming from Oxford, they're coming from Cambridge, and we even have a Canadian coming. You know, I love Canadians. I ministered there. I was a professor there for a brief time, and I learned that Canadians are just Americans with manners. So it's always great to have a Canadian come in and speak about Jesus as well. I'm just kidding for all those of you who are worshiping with us around the world. God bless you. Welcome today. It's our honor to have you as our guest. We want to encourage you to connect with us by texting 74788, the word connect. We have a free book for you. It's one of my favorite books by Dr. Graham because it's on the Holy Spirit. It's called Powering Up. That can be your free gift today by just simply stopping by Guest Central out in the atrium today. Just say, hey, I'm a first-time visitor. We've got that special book for you. So be sure and connect with us online as well. Text connect 74788. I want to say this about the Worldview Conference. We already have men and women, parents, pastors registered from 15 different states. We're less than a month out. Early bird registration ends August 31st, so we need our entire church family to get registered. I got to make sure y'all are going to have a seat. We're going to have 15 main stage speakers, TED Talk style, no more than 20 minutes, 17 breakout speakers. Our theme is Worldview Matters because, as you're going to hear in the sermon from Dr. Graham, worldview matters. It matters in the doctor's office. It matters how we vote. It matters how we parent. It matters with our entertainment. We're going to be covering Israel. We're going to be covering technology, social media, parenting with a biblical worldview. We are covering it all. This is for you. And this is what I love about the vision and the mission that Pastor Graham has put forward here. We believe that biblical worldview is for every age level of every aspect of Prestonwood Baptist Church. This isn't just for the smart Christians. This is for every single follower of Jesus. And so we need you to register, be part of it. We're so thankful to be putting this on. One final exciting announcement. I want you all to think ahead with me already to next summer because Dr. Graham is leading a tour in the footsteps of the Apostle Paul. This trip is nearly full. It's already 60% full. That's why we're letting you know, as well as those of you who are worshiping from around the world here at Prestonwood. You can come on this journey of Paul. It is utterly life-changing to go with Pastor Graham in the footsteps of Paul through the book of Acts all the way to Rome where he eventually gives his life as a martyr for Jesus Christ. I had the privilege to take my daughter on in a footsteps of Paul tour in May. We have had so many talks since then. It has been the most life-changing thing in Lily's life to go walk in the footsteps of Paul. So I want you to sign up, and I want to give you all the opportunity to sign up here as our church family because it is going fast. You're going to want to be part of this as well. I'm going to invite our ushers to come forward as we continue to worship the Lord this morning through the giving of our tithes and our offerings. And I want to encourage you to not forget our summertime giving these next 2 weeks. Some of us, we've had great vacations, we've been gone, and you need to do what Audrey and I did. You need to make sure that you caught up the tithe if you missed. If you were there, just to keep tithing, keep giving 10%, the first fruits. I can't think of a better church to give funds to when we think about all the ministries that are going out. When you look at the Worldview Conference, when you look at the life-changing ministries, our pregnancy center, so many more. We can't do it without all of God's people participating. I want to speak this verse over our offering, Psalm 103. I've been attempting to memorize it both in Hebrew and in English. Bless the Lord, O my soul. All that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. He forgives all our iniquities. He heals all our diseases. He rescues us from destruction, Sheol. He crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies so that our youth is renewed like the eagles. That's our prayer for you today. Lord, bless the offering. I ask that, God, as we praise you with all that we are, we would praise you with our funds. We would praise you with our families. We'd praise you with our heart. We'd praise you with our hope. We'd praise you with our faith. So I ask for you to bless this offering. Lord, work in hearts as you did with all the decisions in the previous service. We know there are many here today who are searching for hope. Bless and keep working and moving through the worship and the ministry of your word. In Jesus' name, and our whole church family said, amen.
All thrones and dominions.
stands above them all, and the angels cry, holy, all creation cries, holy.
Darkness, you bring light. Lord, we worship you in this place. We lift up your name. You're worthy of our praise. You're so worthy, God. Behold the Lamb upon the cross who takes away the sins of all. Forgive from hands and feet, as violence meets the Prince of Peace, behold.
Your Bibles and turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. This is our brand new series from the letter of Peter, 1 Peter. And the theme is living hope. Living hope in a hostile world. And I'm so glad that you have joined us today, and that includes all of you who are worshiping with us and now with the word open wherever you are. Verse 3, 1 Peter chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again. Peter is echoing the words of the Lord who said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. And so he said, how are we born again? We are born again unto a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept or reserved in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded, kept through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, that is, when Christ comes again. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials. Peter is preparing Christians in his generation and in all generations for the various trials and suffering and pain that often comes in life. And so he is getting all of us ready for our need for hope in this world. As a pastor, I don't believe I've ever seen so much hopelessness as we are seeing today. This is an age of rage, an age of anxiety, a troubled generation. There's so much fear and so much loneliness and anxiousness, and there's a great psychological, medicinal, and spiritual need for hope. Amen. A doctor by the name of Dr. Arnold Hutznecker said this, since my early years as a physician, I learned that taking away hope is to most people like pronouncing a death sentence. And yes, people are living under a death sentence today of hopelessness. The Apostle Paul reflected on this in Ephesians chapter 2 when he said, people are without God and without hope. Because if you are without God, certainly there is no hope. So he said, it's like pronouncing a death sentence. Their already hard-pressed will to live can become paralyzed, and they may give up and die. I've seen this myself. I've watched as people have given up hope to live, and they die. George Gallup, the pollster, said this, people in many nations appear to be searching with new intensity for spiritual moorings. One of the key factors prompting this search is a need for hope in these troubled times. The Bible says in Proverbs 13 and verse 12, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a desire fulfilled is a tree of life. How many people are heart sick because they are hopeless? I want to talk to you about a living hope. I believe my goal as a pastor and a minister in these days is to preach the message of hope in Jesus Christ. Hope is both biologically, psychologically, and certainly spiritual, vital to every person. It's been said many times, I don't even know the human author of this quote, but it's been said that like oxygen to the lungs, so is hope to the soul. Amen. You cannot live, you cannot breathe without oxygen, and you cannot live, you cannot breathe without hope. And yet so many people are living hopeless lives. I want to bring you a message of hope. The result of so much hopelessness is all the chaos that we are seeing, all the emptiness, the violence, and even death. And there's a sense I think all of us are feeling these days that something catastrophic is about to happen in the world, even in our country. So how can we find hope in times like these? It is through truth, the truth that comes from the God of hope. Romans 15, 13 says, may the God of hope, and this is my prayer for you, may the God of hope fill you with all peace and joy in believing that you, by the power of the Holy Spirit, may overflow, may abound in hope. That's Peter's point in this letter. Hope is the expectancy of faith that we can live with strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. It is the confidence and the certainty that God provides a better day, a better future for those who look to Him, that His promises are true, and that life is blessed when we live in the hope of His blessing. Hope is like light in the darkness. Lee Strobel, who is one of our speakers at the Worldview Conference coming up, wrote about this light in the darkness. He said, hope is the inextinguishable flicker God ignites in our souls to keep us believing in the prevailing power of His life, even when we are surrounded by utter darkness. Hope is light in the darkness. Hope is the light, the dawn of an empty tomb when Christ came out of the grave. Hope is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. And so this living hope that we have is all because He lives. And we should be able to give a reason, according to 1 Peter 3:15, for the hope that is in us. If you have this hope in you, hope is not just out there somewhere. Hope lives in us as Christ lives in us. And if you have this hope, you ought to be able to share this hope with others. Something that I'm going to be emphasizing this fall again and again and again and again. More and more is our need, personally and individually, to share this reason for the hope that is in us. To pray for people who need to know Jesus. You say, well, I don't really know that many people. Pray that God would give you a burden for people around you. Amen. Pray that God would give you a burden to pray for the lost and the far from God. And then when you pray, be available to witness of the hope that is in you. Invite a friend to church. You know, every one of us really can do that. How hard is it really to simply invite a friend to church? One of the young ladies that was baptized, I don't know exactly the details of this story, but the last young lady that was baptized, I believe her name was Zoe, she spent the night with a friend, and her friend brought her to church this morning, a high school friend, and when she got here, she said, I want to follow Christ and be baptized this very day. And that's what happens when we invite our friends. And so if you can, if you will, take that next step and bring people. Bring people to church with you. And then look for the opportunity to share your faith and the reason for the hope that is within you. The reason that we are always teaching and training people in biblical worldview, including our magnificent conference, is to do this very thing. To help us all to be able to answer the questions that people are asking. To know our Bibles well enough and to know our Lord well enough that we are able to share this reason for hope. And Dr. Jeremiah, we appreciate so very much your leadership. He is our pastor, associate pastor of apologetics and cultural engagement, along with his mission at Prestonwood Christian Academy to lead our spiritual development and lead our Bible faculty. And we're so grateful for you that God led you here and that you said yes, because more and more in this generation, we need to know how to reach this generation with the gospel of Christ, with so many young people deconstructing their faith and Satan roaring like a lion, roaming everywhere, stealing the faith and the joy of millions of people. We ought to be able, as God's people, to show a living faith in Christ. Amen. As Christians, we live in hope because God has guaranteed our future with Him. Right. Did you hear me? God has guaranteed our future with Him. Here's my definition of resurrection hope. Hope is in the resurrection. So what is resurrection hope? Resurrection hope is the sure expectation that God is willing and able to keep His promises to those who trust Him. There it is. that God is able to keep his promises to all of us who trust in him. And the God of hope provides something real because it's the resurrection. It's factual. It is history. And it's more than optimism. I like optimism. One of my dearest friends was Zig Ziglar. And Zig was a great optimist. He said, I'm so optimistic that something like that I'm going to go after Moby Dick with a jar of tartar sauce and a fork or something like that. That's optimism. I like that. I heard about a father who had two sons. And one of the sons was always negative. He was a pessimist about everything. And then the other son was a complete optimist. He just almost was unrealistic in his optimism. So the father thought, I'll teach them a lesson at Christmas and hopefully help them get balanced in this. And so to the negative son, he wrapped up many presents and put them in a room with bows, and there were toys in there, all kinds of good things, all wrapped up. And he was just going to overwhelm this negative son with all these good gifts. And then to the overly optimistic child, he filled his room with horse manure. And so Christmas Day came, and the boy who was negative came out, and the father said, where's the smile? Didn't you see all the presents? He said, I know, but I didn't even open them. I don't know if I'll like them. Maybe I'll break all those things. I don't know if I'll like them or not. And about that time, the other son, the optimist, came bounding in the room, and he was just covered with you know what, smiling from ear to ear. And the father said, son, I don't get it. How can you be smiling? He said, I just know there's a pony in there somewhere. That's what I want for Christmas. Amen. Well, it's good to have optimism, but unrealistic expectations can sometimes be disappointing. So we need more than wishful thinking and optimism and even a positive mental attitude. All that's good, but we need something more, don't we? We need something real. We need living hope. Described in the book of Hebrews chapter 6 verse 19 as an anchor for the soul. Something that holds us. We just don't hold on to hope. Hope, like an anchor, holds on to us. And the Bible is brimming with hope. Amen. This is a hope book. And certainly 1 Peter, Peter's letter to us, is a book all about this hope. Hope is a promise. It is holding on to his word. Hope is power. It is the power of God. It's what keeps us going when we want to give up. Anybody been there? Just wanting to quit, wanting to give up, wondering why you would get up and try again? Wondering if it's worth it? Most of us have been there. But the fact is that our hope in Jesus Christ, not in self, not in our humanity, but our hope in Christ, holds us and keeps us when we want to quit. Isaiah 40:31 is a verse I memorized as a youth. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. It's that verse that talks about mounting up with wings as eagles and running and not be weary, walk and not faint. It says, they that wait on the Lord will renew their strength. And a number of years afterwards, I read that word wait, it's kind of hard to describe sometimes. What does it mean to wait on the Lord? Wait, wait, wait. Well, with God, timing is everything. But to wait, as translated in the New International Version, is the word hope. So now when I read they that wait upon the Lord, I also see that word. They that hope in the Lord will renew their strength. Amen. So it's solid, it's strong, this living hope. And is sure, and it is steadfast. Hope is waiting and expecting God to fulfill every promise and to give us strength for every single day. It is more than feelings. It is faith, because according to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, that faith is the substance of things hoped for. And His Word is so full of light, even in the darkness. God's hope is medicine for the soul. So two clear points Peter is making in this passage. One, our living hope is in the God of hope. Hope has a name, and His name is Jesus. Hope is the hope that our God gives us. Read Peter's message again and again. Remember last week I asked you to read through 1 Peter this week? Now, I'm not going to get a show of hands, but I hope you did. And if you didn't, then you'll catch up this week. I'm challenging you. It takes less than 30 minutes to read 1 Peter. You can do this. And there's about 103 verses, I think. So mark it, highlight it, read it, get it in you, because you will. If you want hope in your life, this will fill you with His hope. Peter was writing to the scattered saints, the elect, not the elite. We're not chosen because we are elite. We're not called into His family because we are elite. We're chosen because we are loved. We are elect. This past week was a big week for Dev and me. We've been thinking that our little rowdy boy, our dog, our beagle, we've had beagles through the years, and we've always had two dogs at the same time. So now we had one dog, and we're thinking, well, we really don't need a puppy. Yeah, we really do. Oh, Rowdy needs a friend. So we've been talking about this a while. And I knew this would happen. As soon as we got to the car and went to the farm up in White Wright, Texas, where we got Rowdy. And we weren't there very long until we chose this little guy right here. Isn't she beautiful, by the way, Deb Graham? And isn't he fantastic? That boy is named Dandy. Dandy dog. Now, he is a tribute to my father. We had in Conway, Arkansas, some of you have heard me tell this story. I can't forget it. It's just such a great memory for me. But we had a corn dog stand. And it was like a Dairy Queen. In fact, the Dairy Queen down the street was our main competition. We didn't like the Dairy Queen people. We were Dandy Dog people. And we spelled it Dan-DEE-dog, Dandy Dog. And we served the greatest corn dogs, better than Fletcher's, better than anybody's corn dogs in the whole world. And so I've always thought, you know, I'm going to get a dog one day, and because of Tom, I'm going to name him, my dad Tom, we're going to name him Dandy Dog. So there he is right there. And we chose him. Yes, he's cute, but there were a lot of cute puppies there. In fact, I was just making sure I got Deb out the door before we took every one of them home. So there were these beautiful little beagles with those big eyes and floppy ears and big patty feet. They're running around everywhere. But we looked at this little guy, and we chose him, and we took him home. And it's fun. Rowdy likes him. It's all good. They're having a great life. And when we were leaving, signing the papers and paying our money, they said to us, now you have 30 days. If you, for some reason, need to bring the dog back, you have 30 days. I looked at her and said, there's no way we're bringing this boy back. Said, we're going to keep him. And when the Bible says right here, and I know that's a silly dog story to illustrate a great, powerful truth, but we are elect, we are chosen by God, and we can't be unchosen, because in this living hope, it's not only the God of hope that we believe, but it is the God of heaven, and this hope resides in heaven. It is reserved for us. It is kept in heaven for us, because our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and God's not giving us back. He's keeping you. And He is because of what Christ has done. You are paid for in full by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I can only imagine, as Peter was writing this letter under the authority and inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he's writing these words as God is breathing them out through him. And as he's speaking of this living hope, he's thinking about his own life. We talked a little bit about Simon Peter last week, the author and the apostle of this letter. And no doubt, this man who began to follow Jesus as a fisherman, and he just dropped everything and he followed Jesus. He left his career behind and he followed Jesus, and he learned so much and he lived so much in that 3-year span. Ultimately, when Jesus asked, "Who do men say that I am?" it was Simon Peter, under the power of the Holy Spirit, who said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And that's the great confession for every Christian, when the Holy Spirit speaks to us and moves in us and we confess Christ as Lord and Savior. "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." Later, when some followers of Jesus were going away because it was getting hard and Jesus was saying some tough things about discipleship and what it meant to follow him, it was Simon Peter, when Jesus said, "Will you also go away? You guys going to leave too?" Simon Peter, he said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We're not going anywhere." And Simon Peter later at the cross promised that he would never deny the Lord. "All these others, they may, but not me." But you know that story if you've been around your Bible a bit. It's the story of Simon Peter's denial. And 3 times, again and again and again, he denied the Lord and denied that he was a follower of Jesus. And when Jesus looked at him shortly after, when the rooster crowed, he knew that he had broken the heart of God. He had broken his promise, and he was so ashamed. He wept sorrowfully, the Bible says, profusely, because now he'd lost hope. And then Jesus died. He was murdered, brutally murdered on a cross, and laid in a tomb. And for Simon Peter and the rest of them, for everybody, all hope was gone. Simon Peter had lost it all. He lost it. Everything he had dreamed and everything he had hoped and everything he had desired in Jesus was now apparently gone, until Jesus came out of that grave and appeared to his disciples and 500 other people and to Peter personally and restored him. And I can't help but believe, as Simon Peter is writing these words, he's going back to those days when Jesus restored a hopeless man. I'm so glad that through the years I've been able to say to people, there's never a time in your life that God does not love you and your hope can be restored. Amen. Because of the resurrection. Because Jesus lives. Everything changed when Jesus came out of the grave. And because Christ lives, therefore we live. He said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he be dead, yet shall he live." And so Peter, with praise, these sentences here, verses 3 and following, really is a praise to God. It is an exaltation. It is a doxology. Yes, there's so much great theology and biblical truth in these words, every one of them. But ultimately, Peter is so excited. He's just bursting forth in praise. You know, have you noticed, if you follow social media, this is a new thing. I see it a lot with people. People are always talking about how super excited they are. "I'm super excited about this. I'm just super excited, super excited." Well, okay. But Peter was super excited, really, because he knew that Jesus was alive, and he's praising God. And this is an act of worship. It's Easter exaltation. I was telling people last week, we had so much of this new beginning going on with our new Bible study groups and promotions with kids and the choir back and people back in school and our midweek service, which was tremendous, as we had the midweek activities and ministries going on. I said, it felt like Easter. Kind of feels that way this morning, just the praise and the worship. Well, every day is Easter for the Christian. Every Lord's Day reminds us of the living hope that we have. That's why it's good to be here. When you get here, maybe you're running low on hope, but you hear the worship of Christ and That one, I didn't even know that last song we sang. That was a new one to me. But nobody, no enemy can hold you down because you have hope in Jesus Christ. Nobody in that grave. Nobody. Well, Jeremiah Johnston, Dr. Johnston, who is truly a biblical student and scholar, has written many books. I recommend them all. We're so glad to have Jeremiah, as I noted earlier, here at Prestonwood. He has a book that I would highly recommend to you. It's called Body of Proof, and it's about the resurrection. The seven best reasons to believe in the resurrection of Jesus and why it matters today. And those seven reasons are powerful, compelling reasons. Biblical reasons, historical reasons, scientific reasons, many reasons for the proof of the resurrection. And this is why we have hope. The Apostle Paul said, if Jesus is still in that grave, we are of all men most miserable. There is no hope if Christ is not alive. But Jeremiah wrote these words. Remarkable as it may seem, nearly 100 times in the New Testament, the word hope is used as a descriptor of the believer in Christ. What's fascinating is that hope in God, as much as faith in God, is the hallmark of our new life in Christ. And then he references, and you can look at it right there in your Bible, 1 Peter 1:21. He says, through him you believe in God who raised him from the dead and gave him glory so that your faith and hope are in God. And then Jeremiah writes, as we trust in God, we must wrap ourselves in the truth that our hope stands. Jesus Christ shattered the gates of death for us and now reigns as our living Lord. He is alive. We are right now, alive with him. In other words, our living hope is based on the historical, unchangeable fact of Jesus' physical, bodily resurrection from the dead. Amen. He is the God of hope because he is the risen Savior. Do you know him? Have you been born again unto a living hope? I'm so glad that I'm able to share this hope with people through the years. To that widow whose husband has passed away, she's buried half her heart with him, that there is hope. I'm so glad that I can tell people that there is an indestructible, unfading, reserved in heaven kind of hope for each one of us, a promise that never fails. To the one who's diagnosed with a fatal disease, in Christ there is hope. Amen. To the one whose child has abandoned the faith and is now living as a prodigal, because of Jesus, there is hope. There is hope for your child. To the spouse, the husband or wife betrayed by sin, who wonders how you can live again, there is hope. To the one who experiences inexplicable, unexplainable tragedies in life, I'm so glad that I can preach and share hope in Jesus Christ. To the one addicted, and you think you'll never get over it, that you would never break these chains that have you bound, to those who are bound in sin and can't get away, it seems, there is hope for you in Jesus Christ, who can break every chain. That's right. To the one who's facing death, the world looks at death and hope ends at the grave. But for the Christian, the grave is just the beginning. Because our God is the God of hope. And not only he is the God of hope, he is the God of heaven. Our living faith is in the God of hope and in the God of heaven. It's all about the afterlife. And there is a life beyond. And you will spend eternity somewhere, either in heaven or hell. If you don't know Christ, you are facing a hopeless end and hell forever and ever and ever. But in Jesus Christ, there is a heavenly hope. one that is secure and sure, one that is solid and strong. It is incorruptible, Peter says. It doesn't fade away. You know, I've noticed, have you noticed some of us as we're aging through the decades, all the things that seem like that we like just kind of fade away. Our favorite restaurants, they go. Where did they go? Our favorite shopping mall, gone. I could just say a lot of things. Our kids leave home. Things seem to leave us through life. They just fade away. As you know, I prayed and waited for the Rangers to win the World Series for 53 years. I persevered in that prayer, and they won it. They won it. World Series champions, 2023. But now, it's fading away, and no, there's not a lot of hope. And then there's always next year's champion, right? And then what about all of us who cheer for the Dallas Cowboys? We hope every year this is going to be it, and this year's going to be it. We're praying for Coach McCartney and all the guys and all the teams, you know. But, you know, sports, is as much as I can be obsessed with sports and my teams, I mean, you know, all that stuff goes away. I thought I'd have that feeling of that championship with the Rangers forever. But it's fading. It's fading as we speak. Well, we have a hope that doesn't fade.
Amen.
It's forever.
Right.
It's a no-so hope because we know the one who came out of the grave. We know him. And we're sure that he will keep us. That's what Peter says. If anyone could have believed that the Lord could throw him away, it would have been Simon Peter. I mean, Jesus could have said, I'm taking this puppy back to Nazareth and leave him there. But he didn't, did he? He kept it. And he became the great apostle of hope. When it says in verses 4 and 5 that we are sure, that we are kept, that word is the most powerful word for keeping or guarding. It's to be guarded by an army. Angel armies surround us. We're guarded with hope like an army. We can be certain of the God who saves us and that we are forever saved. When you belong to Jesus, you can never unbelong to him. He will never take away your hope in Christ. He said, the Father keeps us. We're kept by the power of God. The omnipotent grip of God has you in the hand of his grace. So that's why we're told in Hebrews or Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1 that we are to set our affections on things above and not on things below.
Amen.
We should lean into the hope and the promise that is in front of us, reserved in heaven for you. Hope is in heaven. Hope is here and now for sure. Hope enough to get you through what you're going through. But the eternal hope is what is best of all. The hope that is reserved in heaven for you. Reserved. I had a wonderful father-in-law by the name of Doyle Peters. Deb and I met at Hardin-Simmons University. She's from Mineral Wells, Texas. And we fell in love, got married as students there. And of course, I met her father, and I went to her father and asked for his blessing on our marriage. And I can't believe he said yes because we were so young. But he loved me even when I was just a boy preacher. I was just a boy when he met me. And he believed in me, and he was such a wonderful man. Poss was from a place, the reason he got that name, Poss, is he was from O'Brien, Texas originally. And they were the O'Brien Opossums, their high school mascot, the O'Brien Opossums. So he came to Mineral Wells when they moved there as a family with a big O on his letter jacket for the Opossums, I guess, and for O'Brien. So the kids all started calling Doyle Peters
Posh. And so it stuck. And through the years, I knew him as Posh. It was a good name. And he had a good name. But as a young man, he went to Texas Tech and got a math degree. I think he was the first person in his family that went to college and university. He was brilliant. He was math smart, very smart. He ended up teaching mathematics and tutoring mathematics. And he was a rural mail carrier as well, just salt of earth kind of man, good man. But early on in his 20s, he wasn't a Christian. He didn't grow up going to church much. And he married Joanne, my mother-in-law, and her faith was strong, and yet he didn't have much of a faith. But in his 20s, about mid-20s, late-20s, he came to faith in Christ.
Praise God.
And he and Deb, who was 7 years old at the time, my wife remembers her daddy when he wasn't a Christian. He was a good man, but he wasn't a Christian. And they were baptized on the same day in Mineral Wells, Texas.
Amen.
So fast forward to 1970 or so, and I meet Posse, and Deb and I are married, and you know the story that my father was murdered in the summer, August of 1970, and so we went through that horror and sorrow in our lives. And then just 18 months into our marriage, Posse looked on his arm one day, and there was a growth, a mole that didn't look right. And as I told you, he was a rural mail carrier, so he would often drive with his arm out the window, his bare arm. And they think, of course, that somehow he got this melanoma on his arm. And back in 1971, there wasn't a lot of treatment for melanoma. It still can be a very deadly cancer, of course. And 18 months later, he's in heaven. So we lost both our dads in the first 2 years of our marriage. Well, when Pos Peters was dying, I walked into the room and he was in a coma. And I was the only one in there. It was just me and him. And I loved him, even though I'd known him for a short time, just loved it. He worked on a bus route in his church, picking up kids. He taught Sunday school. He was all in. Don't you appreciate the volunteers like Doyle Peters who work with kids and drive a bus to get people here? I mean, he just was all in. Once he became a Christian, he was a sold-out Christian. And yet so young, 43, he suffers and is dying. So I'm in there, and I'm contemplating all of this. We weren't even over the death of my father, of course. Now this. And he's in a coma. I'm just sitting there and praying. And all of a sudden, I heard him begin to speak. And as I listened, I realized he was teaching his Sunday school class. He said, "All right, boys, open your Bibles." And I don't remember what he said, but he's talking all about the things of Scripture, and he's teaching his class lesson, and he goes on like that 4 or 5 minutes. I mean, he was totally coherent, though in a coma. Steps away from heaven, hours away from heaven. And he's teaching the Bible. And then he says, "Okay, boys, that's it. Let's go to church." He said, "But before we do, let's sing something." And he began to sing. "When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, time shall be no more. And the morning breaks eternal, bright and fair. When the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there."
Amen.
Sing it if you know it. "When the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there.
Amen.
A few hours later, he was there. He was there. And he's there today. I regret that my children and grandchildren never met him, but they will.
That's right.
They will on the other side. And at death's door, this man was saying, I made a reservation. I made my reservation. My name's on the roll. When I check out and check in there, my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Have you made your reservation? So I'm going to ask you to bow with me in prayer, every head bowed and every eye closed. And I'm going to invite you to make a reservation right now if you've not done so. If I were to ask you, are you for sure? Do you know for certain that if you were to die today that you would go to heaven? All of you watching online right now, everyone in this room, are you for sure? Are you for certain that when you die, you will go to heaven? And if so, let me ask you a second question. If God were to say to you, why should I let you into my heaven? What would you say? Unfortunately, most people don't know what they would say. Or they say, well, I've always been a Christian, or I've always been religious, or I've tried to be a good person. Not enough. Not enough. The only way you make a reservation for heaven is what is written in red, the blood of Jesus Christ who died for you and rose again. And when you put your faith and trust in him and him alone as your Savior and Lord, then you have a living hope and the promise of eternal life now and forever. So I'm going to ask you to pray a prayer and invite Christ into your life. You can be born again. That's what it means to be born again. It happens within that you get a new life. The old life can't get you to heaven. The old life will take you straight to hell. But when you repent of your sins by turning and trusting in Christ as your Savior, believing that he died and rose again, then you can make a reservation right now. You can be as sure of heaven as if you were already there. Pray like this. Lord Jesus, I invite you to come into my life, to be my Savior and Lord. I turn from my sin and I trust in you and you only as my Lord and Savior, my Master and friend. I trust you as my Savior. I will follow you as my Lord. In Jesus' name. Now look right this way, everybody.